welcome to our service for the 21st of March 2021. My name is Max Cross. I'm the church leader here in Bedhampton Parish, the rector for Bedhampton. It's great to have you with us this week as we continue to worship our God, as we continue to seek to understand what it means to be a disciple of Christ in 2021. And we'll continue that this week as we continue to look at Discipleship Explored. But before we dive into our worship proper, just some pieces of news for you. You probably get this new sheet by email each week or pick it up at St. Thomas's and Bibury Lane. But just a couple of things for me to highlight for you as we go through. Don't forget, we are now advertising for our administrator role. You can find out more details about this important role on our website. And if you know anyone who fits the bill, who may fit with our mission and what we're trying to do here in Bedhampton, then give them a nudge about that role. Also, if you could let me know today, if at all possible, if you can help with the Easter garden at St. Nicholas's and St. Thomas's, that'd be really helpful. Maybe bring a few plants along, maybe do a little bit of digging, but it's not a huge project, but just so that we can celebrate with the local community what it was that Jesus did at Christmas. Again, details about that on your news sheet. And as well, today is an opportunity as we meet as your PCC this week to decide how we move forward with the refurbishment of St. Nick's. If you've not responded to the St. Nicholas appeal yet and were intending to, today is your day to do that. Let me know today or tomorrow before we have our PCC meeting how you might help and join in with our mission at St. Nicholas's as we refurb it for the 21st century. Finally, before we move on, I want to say two things. Firstly, we will be meeting, as I said, as our PCC this coming Tuesday. Be praying for that meeting. After which, we will announce what our intentions are for a return to our church buildings. So keep an eye out on Facebook and next week for the service and the news sheet about how we intend to return to our church buildings. And as we head to Easter, one of the things that we believe is important here in Bedhampton are the scriptures that Jesus, that God has given us. And so next year, starting on the Monday after Easter, Easter Monday, we will begin to read through the Bible. Now, maybe you've had attempted to do that before and have struggled with it. Well, this year we are doing what we call bite-sized Bible. So you get to read through as much as you feel that you can get through in each day, whether that's just the Gospels in the whole year, the New Testament in the whole year, whether that's some of the Old Testament as well, or indeed the whole Bible. Join us as we journey together through these important scriptures. And then again, you can join us in conversation on WhatsApp or just as we meet about what the Bible means in our everyday. Really important that we get into this. I'm inviting you, encouraging you indeed, to join me on that journey. Let me know via the office that you want to be part of that, and then you can get those emails if you're on email, or I can give you a physical sheet if you don't do email. But let's journey together through the Bible as Jesus talks to us through his word. Just before we do begin in earnest, I wanted to let you know that our dear friend Olive Sheesby died this week. It's sad news for us and for her family. Olive was a dear friend to many people, a member of the congregation here at St. Nicholas's and St. Thomas's for many, many years. And I got to love her when I met her just 3 years ago. So let's take a moment just to light a candle for Olive and to remember her. Just maybe if you have a memory of Olive, or just bring that to mind as we lift her family to God. Dear Lord, we thank you for the light that shined out of Olive the light that you placed within her. And as we remember her now, we lift you, her family, praying for your blessing upon them. We lift to you her friends who will miss her greatly. We know that your son mourned the loss of his friend Lazarus. We know that your son wept as he saw at those who mourned. And so bring peace, we pray. Amen. I welcome you in the way that Paul welcomed the Philippians. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, and also with you. And having welcomed one another, we now come before our God and confess our sins and mistakes, just as the Philippians did. We read in Philippians 3:17, Paul say, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. I wonder, is it possible to claim those words for ourselves, to repeat them as our words? Let's take a moment of silence as we cast our minds back on our lives, as we come before a God who's keen to forgive us. Let's take a moment of silence to reflect and bring before God the areas of our lives that we are not proud of. Merciful God, we hear these words of Paul and know that his life was spent living and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, not only to the people of his day, but to the people ever since. And we pray. When we are happy to tell others to do as we say, but want the freedom to do as we choose, even if that means surrendering some of our Christian values, forgive us, O God. When we strive to imitate the lifestyles of the rich and famous and ignore the plight of those who are poor and powerless, forgive us, O God. When we look to others other than Jesus Christ, the source of our standard, forgive us, O God. When Jesus weeps over our behaviour as he wept over Jerusalem, forgive us, O God. God of grace and truth, we remember Jesus' commitment to travel towards the cross, to give true and everlasting meaning to the depth of divine love. Empower us with the Holy Spirit to deepen our commitment to follow Jesus, even when that means being ridiculed or persecuted, or sharing in the struggles and sufferings of others. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And now we continue our worship as we sing this favourite hymn of Olives. So we have sung our worship. We have confessed our sins. We have remembered the saints that have gone before us. And now we continue in our walk with Jesus as we read his scriptures.
The first reading is taken from the Old Testament, from Deuteronomy, chapter 10, verses 12 to 22. Fear the Lord. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. Yet the Lord set his affection on your ancestors and loved them, and he chose you, their descendants, above all the nations, as it is today. Circumcise your hearts, therefore, and do not be stiff-necked any longer. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow, and loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. And you are to love those who are foreigners, for you yourselves were foreigners in Egypt. Fear the Lord your God and serve him. Hold fast to him and take your oaths in his name. He is the one you praise. He is your God who performed for you those great and awesome wonders you saw with your own eyes. Your ancestors who went down into Egypt were 70 in all. And now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars in the sky. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is taken from Philippians, chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for such confidence. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, that the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for those readings. And now Polly, who is one of our leaders in St. Nicholas's, is going to break apart those scriptures as we reflect on what it means to be righteous in Christ.
Yesterday marked 1 year since all schools in England had to close for the majority of pupils. Today marks a year since I've been grateful every day on Facebook for things that have happened. And I'm really grateful that schools, although we've had to close twice in the interim period, they are now open again for all of our pupils. I'm grateful that the infection rates are going downwards. I'm grateful that so many people in our country have now had the COVID vaccine, and it does look like we have got a route out of the situation that we've been in. And I long for the day that churches can be open again and we can meet together in person and not have to do this online. Over the past few weeks, we've been on our journey exploring discipleship through the book of Philippians. Max started off talking about having confidence in Christ. Because God is in control, we can be confident that nothing can prevent him from completing the good work he's begun in every believer. Peter then spoke to us about living in Christ. For Paul, the author of Philippians, life was about knowing Jesus better and telling others about him. His greatest joy in life was Jesus Christ, and nothing, not even death, could take his joy away from him. Fleur then spoke to us about being one in Christ. She told us her daughter Joy was named after an acronym: Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. And I wonder if how many of you over the last few weeks have been working out an acronym for your names. Last week, Max spoke to us again. He spoke about being obedient in Christ. And I was really challenged by the words of Philippians 2 verse 12. Work out your salvation. Not work for your salvation, work out your salvation. Because our salvation is already won for us through what Jesus did on the cross. So we don't have to work for it. But we do need to work it out through our relationships, through being obedient to Christ for obedience' sake and not for the sake of being watched. So we don't do things just because other people see that we're doing them. And I can't believe we've taken all of that from the first two chapters of Philippians. Also included in Philippians chapter 2 are the wonderful words we often say as a creed. Philippians 2 verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. What wonderful words that we so often say in our service. And today it's my turn and we're moving on to Philippians chapter 3. And we're thinking about being righteous in Christ. Many people, Christians included, think that God will accept them because of the good things that they do, or indeed because of the bad things that they don't do. But they miss the point here, and that's not what the Bible tells us. Christianity accepts us because of what Jesus has already done for us on the cross, not because of what we do or what we don't do. And Paul, in religious terms, had done everything right. If you like, he was a super Jew. And if anybody had reason to boast about his Jewishness, he did. He was born in the tribe of Benjamin, one of only two tribes who were still following God. He was circumcised on the eighth day, as in accordance with the Old Testament law. He was raised as a Pharisee. He had a zeal for the law. In fact, his zeal and passion were so great, he persecuted the church. As for righteousness based on the law, he was faultless. Why did Paul feel that he needed to boast and list his Jewish credentials? Well, the church in Philippi clearly had Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians, and the Jewish Christians thought they were better because they'd followed the Old Testament law. They'd been circumcised. Obviously, they were God's chosen people. They were going to have to be better. That, though, is not what the Bible tells us. And Paul tells us to watch out for the mutilators of the flesh and says that those who are truly circumcised are those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. Because as Christians, we are released from the Old Testament law. And in the Old Testament, circumcision was a sign of the flesh. It was a sign that you belonged to God. Now we have a new circumcision. We have a circumcision of the heart. And the sign of that circumcision should be the life that we live, the life we live of faith. For Paul, who boasted about his Jewish credentials, he now considers that all a loss for the sake of Christ. He realised his own righteousness was actually rubbish. And his real reason for boasting, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. Paul found righteousness that came from God based on the basis of faith, not on the basis of the family we're born into, not on the basis of the goodwill and the good works we've done, but on the basis of who Jesus is and what Jesus did by dying on the cross. That is why Paul could boast. Our Old Testament reading today was from the book of Deuteronomy, from Deuteronomy 10. And it starts with the words, "and now," an expression commonly used to mark the climax of a speech. Before this, we've had a recital of what God has done. And now the listeners need to prepare for what they need to do and for their personal response. So what does God ask them to do? To fear the Lord. To walk in obedience to him. To love him. To serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. To observe the Lord's commands. And although I've said that we're free from the law of the Old Testament, actually, isn't this still what we want to do? Don't we still want to fear the Lord, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength? And to observe the Lord's commands. In fact, Jesus summarised the Old Testament law, didn't he? To love your neighbour as yourself and love the Lord your God. That's what we need to do. And in verse 16, it says, "Circumcise your hearts, therefore, and do not be stiff-necked any longer. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes." Moses gave the people of Israel laws to follow. In Philippians 3, we're reminded we don't become acceptable to God by obeying the law of Moses. God accepts us because of our faith. And I just want to read some of those words from Philippians 3. In the contemporary English version, "All I want is Christ, and to know that I belong to him. I could not make myself acceptable by God by obeying the law of Moses. God accepted me simply because of my faith in Christ." Those same words in the NIV. "I've lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith." Our righteousness in God comes from the basis of our faith. That Jesus Christ was born as a man. He died on the cross, but he didn't stay there. On the third day, he rose again and he ascended into heaven and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And he did all of that so that we can be free. Our righteousness doesn't come in what we do. Our righteousness comes through our faith in Jesus Christ. And I pray for you all this week that you may live and walk in that righteousness.
Thank you for that, Polly. You know, as I prepared for our service today, I just got a little nudge from the Holy Spirit that we should take some time to reflect not only on today's theme, righteousness in Christ, but also the themes that we've looked at in being a disciple over the last few weeks. That we are confident in Christ, that we can live in Christ, that we can be one, the unity of our church in Christ, that we must be obedient to Christ. And today, of course, that we are righteous because of Christ. I wonder, as we reflect now for a moment, what area is God's Spirit speaking to you about? Which of those areas has he nudged you about? Can you be confident in Christ? Can you live in Christ? Live in the unity, one in Christ. Be obedient to him and be righteous because of him. Let's take a moment of silence just to reflect upon that before we sing our next hymn. I really believe that God's Spirit is speaking to us as a community now, that we are ready to move forward out of this pandemic, out of looking inwards to look outwards. And I really believe that God is speaking to a number of you about the next step for you. Let's take a moment to sing our worship and allow God's Spirit to continue to minister to us. As we sing this song, Faithful One, So Unchanging.
Again and again.
What a great song. Of course, if God has been speaking to you through his Spirit today, it is a good thing to do, to speak to others about that. And you are welcome to contact me, and we can have a chat about what that might mean. But also, you're welcome to speak to any others that you journey with through Christ's family. But don't do the journey on your own. As we continue now, Sandra is going to lead us in our prayers of intercession.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, Lord our God. You are always more ready to hear than we are to pray, and to grant us more than we desire or deserve. May we rejoice in your presence and know your abiding love. We thank you for the changing seasons, for the first day of spring today, and for your promises of warmth and light. Amen. We pray today for all who are new to the faith, and those who are growing in a deeper awareness of your presence. May we know that wherever we go, and whatever happens, you are with us and ready to lead us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, we ask your blessing on all leaders of nations and peoples. We pray for your guidance in the difficult decisions they will make this week concerning the well-being of the world and the communities they serve. We pray for people who are oppressed, and for those caught up in war zones, for refugees and the homeless. Particularly this week, we pray for the people of Syria and Myanmar. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Dear God, during this week it will be 1 year since our country began isolation due to the COVID-19 pandemic. We remember and lift before you those who we have known and loved and have died of the virus, those who have suffered greatly, and those who still remain very anxious. We thank you for the continuing vaccination programme and all who work to keep us safe. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Comfort and heal all those who suffer in mind, body or spirit. Give them courage and help in their troubles and bring them the joy of your salvation. We pray for the people we know and those included on our weekly sheet. We pray also for the families and friends of those who have recently died, including Lillian Jones, Ron Knight, and dear Olive Sheesby. Lift them gently into your presence. Fill them with your love, and bring them wholeness and freedom and peace. And finally, on this Passion Sunday, we know that you will be with us at each moment of this day. May we, in return, reflect your love in everything that we do. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And we bring those prayers and the prayers of our hearts together in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Of course, as we go into the week now, as we come to the end of our time together here, we don't break apart. We go as one church with Christ's Spirit with us. And in that mode as well, you can join us on Zoom in a little while. Details on the screen about how to get onto that as we chat and have a cup of tea for half an hour. But whatever you do this week, do go knowing that Christ goes with you. One thing I forgot to mention earlier on is that it's Palm Sunday next week. And if you want to pick up a palm cross, you can from St. Thomas's during the week, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's open. Pick up your palm cross from there for Palm Sunday next week. Other than that, I pray that God goes with you and that you have a fantastic time. Do get in touch if you need to catch up at all, and look out for news of when we hope to return to our church buildings later in the week and next Sunday. But for now, a blessing from Philippians. May God meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Have a great week.